Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Adrian Puren, he's the Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NICD. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. No judgment, and good morning to your listeners.
No, because you know what? My kids will often say, you know, Dad, we don't do that. We don't judge. Yes, of course we judge. Of course we judge. We judge all the time. That's how we make good decisions from bad decisions, right? I don't know what this, it's a new thing. We don't judge. Of course we judge. Judge away. Anyway, but that's another whole conversation. So, Professor, here's my concern is over the last couple of days, certainly in my circle or community, I'm hearing an enormous amount of people with COVID-19. And I don't know if it's really a bubble because, you know, it people infect each other. If this is something we're seeing, the numbers don't seem to be officially reflecting it. What is really going on out there with Omicron and COVID-19?
Yeah, so the numbers are certainly coming down, but I think, as you quite rightly say, we need to be cautious because, again, we don't know how people are testing, if they're symptomatic, are they being tested? So we possibly have an under-ascertainment of the numbers. But as you know, there's also the circulating sublineage as well, and I'm not sure whether that is contributing to what we're currently seeing, but the, as you said, the numbers are not changing dramatically, as well as the fact that we're not seeing any, and I know that this is always a lag, but we're not really seeing dramatic changes in deaths and hospitalizations, which I think will be our key focus, and I think that'll be important too. So yes, you may be right that there may well be susceptible individuals, either because despite being vaccinated, but that will certainly protect them against hospitalizations or reinfections as a result. So that may still be ongoing, especially with this particular subvariant. But again, I don't think we have sufficient information to say what that is. And as you know, this has also been going back to schools, universities. So you know, are these contributing to what we're currently seeing as well?
So are we seeing the subvariant here in South Africa at the moment?
Yes, and I think my sense is that it's becoming dominant as well as has happened in other countries as well. But whether or not this particular variant, I think the evidence is that certainly that there is great transmissibility, but the vaccine effectiveness, I think, remains the same or similar.
Right.
And so I don't think they must be concerned about that. So again, I would still urge and encourage people and children to actually be vaccinated, but again, just focusing really on the older age groups, but really focusing on all age groups should really be vaccinated and receive their boosters if they've completed their set of vaccines.
Right. Are we seeing cases, if somebody has had Omicron, are they susceptible to the subvariant, or are we seeing that they have sufficient antibodies?
Well, I think that's what remains to be answered, I think, as well, whether or not there's reinfection. My sense would be that they probably would be protected in terms of antibody responses as well as the T-cell responses. But again, I haven't seen really any major new studies around showing whether or not there's a differential effect of reinfection. If you've been infected with the first variant, what's the main lineage of Omicron versus the now sublineage of Omicron.
In terms of last time we spoke, there was certainly a hope or a push towards allowing people to, I think you called it hetero something something, the vaccines, to mix the vaccines. We still haven't had, official word on that. Is there any reason that this, to your knowledge, that this is taking so long to allow?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm sure that the, you know, there are various layers, as I think I've tried to describe previously, of the types of decision-making processes that does occur. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why we're not hearing just yet. But I hope that we could hear fairly soon about heterologous vaccination.
It's what's strange to me is there's almost the sense that we've slowed down in our reaction time. And I could be wrong, but I have been monitoring this whole COVID thing very closely. And in the past, we've reacted fairly quickly. It was almost until December where maybe we reacted too quickly in terms of changing the isolation or quarantine periods. Everybody got nervous, pulled back, and then since then we've been very, very slow, I would think. It's just an outside observation of it to make some of these decisions. You know, we're waiting for that decision, a decision about maybe outdoor masking, which is something I would have thought would have happened by now. These, you know, the under 12 year olds in terms of vaccines, we haven't had much movement at all in these areas.
Yes, I think some of it may be complex. I think, and sometimes you're quite right, going back to your point about judgment and risk, or about evaluation of risk. You know, I know that we have this particular variant currently, but could there be another variant that would behave very differently, like the Delta variant, for example? And I think it's really trying to balance that. You know, once you've put into place certain decisions around that, are you able then to reverse them? You know, like the risk mitigated strategies, for example, in that moving from level 3 to level 2, but could you go back up to level 3? So similarly, I think, you know, when you're introducing these changes, such as, for example, when and how to wear masks, or where to wear masks, under which circumstances, are you able then to reverse it if a variant comes across
I think it's the opposite, because I think if everybody, if the law says we have to wear masks outside, but no one's doing it anyway, then it's harder to say there's a new variant, please wear masks. But if we say that you don't need to wear a mask, and then a new variant comes along and we say, right, please start wearing masks, then there's something to listen to, because you're changing something, whereas what are you changing if you're meant to be wearing masks and no one's wearing masks in any event? So and my concern is that it teaches people to not adhere to the regulations, and I'm seeing it, and I can see it in my own behavior, and not something I'm particularly proud of, but I definitely can see that my own adherence to it, because I don't really know, I'm not confident that I should be wearing a mask outside. In fact, I'm probably confident I shouldn't be. The only reason I would do so is because it's the law. It does become a bit grey, you know. Whereas if we were told you don't need to wear a mask outside, but if we tell you to again, then please listen. I think people would adhere to that.
Yes, you're quite right. I think one reaches that particular point where, you know, are you on your own in terms of making your risk-based decisions? And I think it's really the guidance. So how do you provide that guidance, as you said? You know, is it a matter of saying, okay, at this particular point, you don't have to wear a mask in that time, but you're quite right. But if matters do change, you know, you will have to wear your mask.
Right.
But we have a law that you need to wear masks.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You need to change all of that.
100%. Just a final question. Any movement on, to your knowledge, on children or youngsters, maybe aged 7 to 12 or 5 to 12, with regard to vaccines?
No, I've not seen any comment from SAHPRA that there has been an application, because there would be have to be an application by the vaccine manufacturers for that, and I've not seen SAHPRA make any announcement on that. But I'm sure it will come soon,
right,
in terms of South Africa as well.
Right, I absolutely hope so. Professor Adrian Puren, thank you as always for being available, for having these conversations with us, and for keeping us and our listeners fully updated. Professor Adrian Puren is Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases.